Thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. We are halfway through our Thanksgiving weekend conference. So it would probably be a good time just to ensure that we are getting the point. There is a burden in this conference. There's a definite burden in this conference. And you know, we cover so much scripture and so many examples and even books that we can sometimes miss the point. We just get overwhelmed, you know, the drinking from a fire hydrant syndrome, trying to just stay upright. But we should really be clear that there is a definite burden in this conference. And we saw in message one that we have received a unique and eternal blessing. I mean, there's no blessing like this blessing that we've received. A unique and eternal blessing that is the dispensing of the triune God. This is not a common blessing. Well, thank the Lord for this incredible blessing that we saw in number 6. But we don't just want to see a blessing and know about a blessing. We want to enter into the blessing, experience the blessing, even live this blessing. This is really the burden of this conference. I mean, message one sets it up for us to see this eternal, unique blessing we have, but we can't stop with just seeing it. We must enter into it. We must enter into this blessing, brothers and sisters, and we can. That's what's marvelous. In message two, we saw that we can enter in and we can experience this divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by the divine romance. Isn't that marvelous? You know, it's very difficult to be open to something you don't love. But we love the Lord Jesus. Amen. And when we love Him, we're open to Him. We're open to receive Him. We're open to take Him in. This is the point of the divine romance, is that when we love the Lord, we are open to the divine dispensing. And this, we know even in the verses in the outline, of course, the Song of Songs was really opened up to us. And I was also touched by 2 Corinthians 5 again. You know, Paul's experience of the divine romance, it was not a natural kind of emotional love. That wasn't his experience. I mean, we like to talk about love, right? It feels good and it's soft and fuzzy and warm and... But how about Paul's experience of the divine romance in 2 Corinthians 5? The love of Christ constrains me. To do what? To not live to myself. It forcibly limits me. This is what the love of Christ does. It brings us into the experience of being open to the divine dispensing. Because in ourselves, we just live to ourselves. We're just for ourselves. But thank the Lord for this divine romance, that by this divine romance, we can experience the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity for the divine economy. So again, let's hit that American beef. The beef is what? Experience. Enter into the experience of the divine dispensing. And then last night, with Brother Ricky's fellowship on Romans 8, also, how do we live in the divine dispensing? Well, something's been installed in us. Something's been put into us. And it's automatic. And it's a law. And it causes us to live in this divine dispensing. We can experience and we can live in the divine dispensing. And this is really the burden, brothers and sisters. And this morning we're going to come to another portion. In fact, before we even get to that portion, what I'd like to do is let's read another key statement together. I hope you still have that with you, or you can look on with somebody, because the key statement, you know, we get these key statements in every conference, but I think we overlook them a lot of times. We're not really sure what to do with them. But these key statements are a summary of the burden of the conference, message by message. And the key statement number two, or not number two, but the second one that begins with, we can all experience the divine dispensing. This one summarizes the burden of this particular message, which is message number four. So let's read this together and enjoy it as we read it. We can all experience the divine dispensing. God, the true bread, the heavenly bread, the bread of life, and the living bread, and become constituted with Him so that we can express Him and represent Him. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning we come to a matter that I would say it is probably familiar to you all. It's to sum it up in three words. Breathing, drinking, and eating. We've all heard that, right? We've read messages on this. We've read ministry on this. We've attended conferences and trainings where this is mentioned quite often. But today, to me, it's new. Because it's in the context of the divine dispensing. Our breathing, our drinking, and our eating the Lord, while yes, it's refreshing to us, it's encouraging to us, it's filling to us, this is the by. How do we experience the divine dispensing? By breathing the Spirit, drinking the water of life, and eating the bread of God. So we want to keep the point in front of us as we get into the verses and the outline, that the point is experience. Enter into, live, and experience this divine dispensing. And I believe this will become more clear as we go through. So again, the three key phrases in the title, let's read the title of message four together, because it's very simple and very clear. Experiencing the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by drinking and eating the bread of God. So three key phrases there, but a real key word with the first word of the title, experiencing the divine dispensing. We want our breathing, our drinking, and our eating to usher us into experiencing the divine dispensing. Okay. So, again, these are basic matters, but it's so enlightening to see them being linked to the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity for the divine economy. And, you know, here we are. This is the year 2022, with getting close to the end of the year. It's not bad, brothers and sisters, for us to just, not in a way of judging each other for sure, or even criticizing ourselves, but to say, what is my experience? What is my actual experience in my ordinary daily life related to the matters of breathing, the Spirit, of drinking the water of life, and of eating the bread of God? Have we progressed beyond that stage? We're more advanced than breathing. Wow, we'd be in a world of trouble if we decide that, you know, I've been to so many conferences and trainings and I've read books. I know all about that. I don't need to breathe. That's not normal. I'm so mature now. I've been in the recovery for so long. I've really grown out of the breathing phase. Actually, the more mature you are, the more concerned you are about your breathing, right? The older you get, the more mature you... Oh, wow, I got to be careful of my breath. I got to catch my breath. Brothers and sisters, we never outgrow breathing, drinking, and eating. But certainly we need to consider our experience together. We just need to see, are we actually opening ourselves to the divine dispensing in our ordinary daily life by breathing, by drinking, and by eating? It's a fair question to pose to ourselves and to consider before the Lord. Lord, I'll just put it this way. I have felt this way before the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not satisfied with my experience. I don't feel like that I enter into the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity enough in my daily life. And we'll see, how much simpler can it be than breathing, drinking, and eating? It doesn't get much simpler than that. It's not that complicated. But in our daily life, so many other things come in, occupy, and certainly just our concepts, our religious concepts frustrate us from just being simple, the simplicity that's in Christ. So, brothers, this is really where we are this weekend. A couple weeks ago, I was in the Northwest with Brother James, and Brother James shared something, and it really did touch me at that particular time, especially. He brought up the fact that, you know, we're entering the 100-year anniversary of the Lord's recovery. It's documented that in 1922. Was what we consider to be the first meeting, right? In the Lord's recovery, in a simple home with just a few saints in China, 1922. And here we are, 2022. That's 100 years. 100 years. That's remarkable. What's even more remarkable to me, though, is in that 100 years, look at the vision that has been recovered. Look at the truth that has been unlocked in the Bible. And look at the life and the life practices that have been discovered. Well, this is marvelous. And thank the Lord that we're still here. Thank the Lord for His recovery. But you know, I'm also aware in Revelation chapter 3, you know, there's a warning there where the church in Laodicea, which is the degraded recovered church, it's a recovered church that got degraded. And their thought, or the Lord's consideration of them, is, you're wretched. What? The recovered church became wretched? And that was because they were so proud of being rich. Brothers, are we rich in the Lord's recovery? Amen. We can't deny it. We have what we have. Look at our bookcases. Look at the seven feasts. Look at the morning. All the things we have. We are just rich. Well, we can become proud of being rich. And when the Lord looked at them, they said, "You're poor." Well, but we're rich. Why do you say we're poor? Because you're poor in the experience of Christ. You're poor in the experience of God's economy. Brothers and sisters, may we not celebrate 100 years in the Lord's recovery by being wretched and poor because of our lack of experience. That's why the burden this weekend is very heavy in these messages and very particular for this time. That the fight is for the experience. The fight is for the living of all the riches that we have received. Oh, Lord Jesus. And Brother James just posed it this way when he mentioned this. He said, does the Lord have time to go to another people? If we just cannot enter into the experience of these matters, does the Lord have the time to gain another people, unlock the truth, unfold the vision, bring in the life? It took 100 years with us. Don't you feel the Lord wants to come back? And we want Him to come back? We're longing for His return. But how much is He longing to return? He said, "Behold, I come quickly." Well, He's still not here. Why? He must have a bride that matches Him. That is mature, not a baby bride, but a mature, full-grown bride to match Him. This is the experience of the divine dispensing. It results in the building up of the body of Christ. To be the bride, to bring Christ back the second time. Oh, Lord Jesus. Recently, I joined two other brothers and we went to visit a fourth brother. He's one of the co-workers, but he is limited because of his health. And we had a very pleasant fellowship with him. And at one point, one of the brothers asked him, "Well, brother, is there anything on your heart that you would like to share with us?" And he has trouble expressing himself at certain times. He was so clear and so definite and quick to respond. He said, "Yes. I am praying for all the brothers and sisters in the Lord's recovery to grow in life unto maturity. To be the builded up body of Christ. To bring the Lord back." And then he said, "We've come too far to stop now." We've come too far, brothers and sisters. You know, a gathering like this, when we haven't been together for a while, you see brothers and sisters you haven't seen in a while. I mean, at least 3 years, but in some cases, many years that you haven't run into. And you're just reminded, wow, these Tim, Nothing, you're still here, brother. Hallelujah. We've come a long way from our Detroit days, right? We're still here. But brothers and sisters, we've come too far to stop. We've come too far to just say, well, we've got good books and good conferences, but we just haven't entered into the experience of the divine dispensing in a full way. Oh, the Lord wants to return. You know, when you read the life studies, you know, you discover, Brother Ed's talked about this, discovering things in the life studies and in the ministry. And some things are huge discoveries, like the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. That's huge. But I would like to just share with you, speaking of the Lord coming back, something just in my normal regular reading of the life studies, I was in John, the life studies of John, and I came across, this is John life study number 13, and I discovered just a little nugget I want to share with you. Because this anyway, I'll just read it to you. The context is John chapter 4. After the woman at the well, there's the need of the dying healing, right? That's one of the cases, one of the nine cases. Well, this is, Brother Lee just inserted this in the middle of this fellowship, and it almost seemed out of place, but you could tell it wasn't out of place at all. He said this, "Let me share with you my secret prayer to the Lord." I don't know if you've ever read this. "Let me share with you my secret prayer to the Lord. I have told the Lord, Lord, the time of your coming is near. Do me a favor." This is Brother Lee talking to the Lord. "Do me a favor. Keep me from seeing death. Lord, I want to see you physically face to face. Keep me living until you come." Wow. Of course, our brother, that did not happen with our brother. But don't you have the same prayer? Lord, keep me. Shouldn't many of us in this room be here on the earth when the Lord comes back? That's my secret prayer. I take Brother Lee's prayers, my prayer. I want to see the Lord face to face. But brothers, it has to do with our experience, making this real in our experience in the middle of just ordinary days of our lives. Okay, now let's come to the outline. Okay, I was going to read some of the verses to you, but I think the scripture reading, most of it is from John and then 1 Corinthians and Revelation. All of these verses, I'll just summarize it this way. They touch on three matters. What do you think they are? Breathing, drinking, and eating. Each of these verses touches one of those aspects. The last one, though, is quite wonderful. The Lord coming to the church. That's Revelation 3:20. He comes and he's knocking on the door of the church. Not on the unbeliever's door. He's knocking on the door of the church. And he's saying, "If you hear my voice, would you open the door? I just want to feast with you. I want to dine with you." Anyway, I enjoy that. Was very fresh again. "I want to come in and dine with you." Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 1. Let's read Roman numeral 1 altogether. "The consummated Spirit Amen. The consummated Spirit. This, you know, John 20:22, which is a key verse in this section because it is about breathing. You know, this is the context, of course. I think you all know the context here is the Lord was crucified and resurrected. And he wants to go be with his disciples. And so he goes to find them, to be with them. And comes to, they're in a room with the door closed. And for them, of course, they were sorrowful. Most likely they're very sorrowful. The Lord they'd been with for 3.5 years, lived with, walked around with, saw him interact, heard his preaching and his teaching and his care for people for 3.5 years. He was gone. He'd been put to death. So they were sorrowful. They were probably also scared. Don't you think? I mean, it wasn't a good time to be a friend of Jesus right about then. He'd just been put to death. He might, you know, catch some friendly fire, so to speak. They want to get rid of all those who are with him. So they were there. They're sorrowful. They're fearful. And the Lord comes. He doesn't knock on the door. They don't open the door. He's just standing there in their midst. How did he do that? Well, he was the Spirit. And it seemed like right then would have been an excellent time for the Lord. He's got the disciples' attention. You know, he just appeared to share with them 20 points on how you're going to live this life without me there physically. And just, you know, lay it out for them. Give them a long message. What did he do? He just breathed and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There were the 20 points right there. He just breathed. "Receive the Holy Spirit." This was quite an event. Wow, okay, well, we'll see a little more about this. And then let's go on to read some more. Now, A is really an excellent, A with the points under A is an excellent summary of a footnote, actually, in John 20, 22. And that's footnote 1. And if you have limited time, I'd recommend you read one paragraph of that footnote. That's the second paragraph of footnote 1 in 2022. It is primarily composed of 9 sentences that all begin with this. It is as the Spirit that. It is as the Spirit that, and begins with, the Lord breathed into His disciples. And it is as the Spirit that the disciples received His breathing. Anyway, there are 9 sentences. I'm not going to go through them all here, but it's a wonderful footnote to read. So let me read a few of these points to you, and I'll ask you to read a few as well. A, the Gospel of John reveals that Christ became flesh to be the Lamb of God, and that in resurrection, He became the life-giving Spirit. Thus, in His resurrection, He breathed Himself as the consummated Spirit into the disciples. Thank the Lord for that. Okay, would you read number 1? No, 1 and 2. I'll keep going. We're going to read a few more points and then just say a couple of sentences here. Three, by breathing the Spirit into the disciples, the Lord Jesus imparted Himself into them as life and everything. Brothers and sisters, the good news is the Lord is still breathing. The Lord is still breathing. Receive the Holy Spirit. 4, the Holy Spirit in 2022 is actually the resurrected Christ Himself, because this Spirit is His breath. Therefore, the Spirit is the breath of the Son. Isn't that rich? The Spirit is the breath of the Son. And B, the Lord is the Spirit who gives life, and this Spirit is our breath. 1, the Word, who was God, became flesh to be the Lamb of God, and in resurrection He became the holy breath for us to breathe in. Brothers, what this is pointing out is what is in this breath? What is in this breath? Just in the Gospel of John, let me just read you a list, because these are the aspects of Christ in the Gospel of John that are in this breath. Because the end of 1 says, where did I just read? Oh, in 4, the Spirit is the breath of the Son. The Spirit's the breath of the Son. So, whatever the Son is in this breath. So, what is the Son? Just in the Gospel of John, He's the Word. He's God. He became flesh. He was transfigured as the Lamb. He became the tree in John 15. He was the Lamb tree, Lamb-tree. And this Lamb-tree became the breath in John 20. Isn't that rich? What is, when you breathe, you say, oh, I'm just a little dry. I just need to breathe. You get refreshed. But if you have a view of what you're breathing, oh, it's far more than just a little personal refreshment. You are breathing in God. You're breathing in what? The Word. You're breathing in God became a man. You're breathing in His human living. You're breathing in the Lamb. You're breathing in a tree full of life. This breath has a lot in it. And then now look at, let's all read two. This is a very clear point here. Now we have Christ as the Word, the Lamb, the tree, and the breath. The Word is for, the Lamb is for, the tree is for, and the breath. Hallelujah. Brothers, the breath is for our living. How were the disciples going to live? By breathing. They got a big lesson how you're going to go on. It's by breathing the Spirit in. Okay, let's keep going to see. The consummated Spirit as the breath is everything to us in living the Christian life. Only the breath can be a Christian. How about that, brothers and sisters? How do you live the Christian life? Only the breath can be a Christian. Don't try to be a Christian. You can't do it. Haven't we proven that already? We can't do that. But we have the breath. The breath can be a Christian. And only the breath, the Spirit, can be an overcomer. Amen. And one of the verses here is Philippians 1:19. What a wonderful verse and footnote. I know for me this will turn out to salvation. What's this? What is the this there? I know this will turn out to salvation. Where was Paul? He was in prison. Don't we all have our this? We all have some kind of prison we're in. That's just part of the ordinary human life where there's just prisons that we're in. Well, Paul was in an actual prison, and he said, I know this will turn out for my salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The bountiful supply. And the note one, at least a couple phrases of it, to be sustained and strengthened to live and magnify Christ, this requires something. This requires the bountiful supply of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, to be strengthened, to be supplied, sustained, it requires a bountiful supply. But we have it in the Spirit. Amen. Brothers, we can't live without breathing. We can't live this Christian life without breathing. And of course, our brother will make this even more practical here in a minute, but our breath is for our living. Our breathing is for our holy living. We have a hymn in our, well, we sang it, hymn 255. The last stanza of that hymn, I don't know if you caught our brother A.B. Simpson's spirit in this. I am breathing every moment, drawing all my life from Thee. Breath by breath, I live upon Thee. Breath by breath, I live upon Thee. Lord, Thy Spirit breathe in me. What a wonderful prayer this is. And a reality pointing us to, we live by breathing. We live by breathing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we talked about different aspects that are in the breath. I won't go back to that. And you know, brothers and sisters, we know for a fact, from our experience, I should say, religion never helps us to enjoy the Lord. Religion never helps us to breathe the Spirit. Traditions, ceremonies, all the different things, forms, rituals, doctrines, this doesn't help us breathe. This doesn't help us breathe. But thank the Lord for the recovery, right? In the Lord's recovery, we're in the right place where we're learning to overcome all the distractions, all the frustrations, and we're learning to breathe the Spirit in. We're not there. We're not perfect. But we're learning. We're learning to breathe the Spirit in our daily life. Well, what's the proper way to breathe? What is the proper way to breathe in our spiritual life? Calling on the name of the Lord. Come on, surely you graduated from calling on the Lord. Decades in the Lord's recovery, haven't you graduated from calling? Well, let me ask you, check your experience. How much do we spend calling on the Lord as the proper way to breathe in the Spirit? Maybe we say we haven't graduated, but maybe we, in our experience, we feel like, yeah, I'm a little beyond the calling phase. I'm into the deeper truth now. Calling is for our living. Calling. And we have Romans 10:12. The same Lord is rich to who? All who call on the name of the Lord. And the very next verse, 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That salvation is talking about the salvation of receiving the riches of Christ. Brothers, we can never, never outgrow our calling. Because our calling is our breathing. We'll see eventually our calling is our drinking. Even our calling's our eating. Different ways to call. In fact, Brother Lee, in the ministry, I really appreciate this simple way he said, a quick call on the Lord, that's breathing. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right? We do that? You're in the elevator going to your room. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, that's breathing. He said, if you have a little longer and you can call, that's drinking. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. You start to sense, oh, there's water in that breath. There's water there. We have a little bit longer. Your calling's your eating. It's so simple. Calling. You can breathe. And if you're worried, I don't know which one I need right now. I'm not sure if I need to breathe or to eat. Or call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. 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 Amen, Lord. Oh, Lord. Brothers, what an excellent way to begin our personal, private, affectionate, spiritual time with the Lord. Not asking Him for something. Not telling Him, oh, I got this problem. That. To just sit down with the Lord and begin calling on the Lord. What a way to begin our day with the Lord. Our ordinary day. We're about to go to work. We only have a few minutes. And we sit and we take some time to breathe the Lord in. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Another brother shared with us, try calling on the Lord for 5 minutes. Have you ever tried that? I mean, literally, set your alarm 5 minutes. and do nothing but call on the Lord. What a wonderful practice. We all know we should have morning revival, right? We even can talk about, I do morning revival. And by that, we pretty much mean we have our book, and we've got some verses to read, and we have a little ministry to read, and we do that, and we feel, that's good. I feel good about myself. I had morning revival. But brothers, in the context of the divine dispensing, of the divine Trinity, for the divine economy, shouldn't we at least reconsider our time with the Lord in the morning? What is our view? What are we doing in this time with the Lord? To take a few minutes of our, maybe we only have 15, 20 minutes in the morning, because we've got to get to work, we've got to drive, we've got to catch the bus, we've got to get the kids to school. We just have a limited amount of time. But to say, Lord, I love you. It's really hard, I don't know if it is for me, to call on the Lord without eventually saying, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord. To begin being revived. It is being revived in the morning with calling on the name of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, isn't it strange that our time is so limited in the mornings? And this, the description of our time is personal and private and affectionate. I mean, just the first two, personal and private. But how often do we allow interruptions? We just have a few minutes. And I will, it takes failure to speak this. You know what my biggest frustration is? Bing! Everybody knows what that is? Oh! CNN pops up. War in Iraq. Oh, I better read. What is that? What's going on? ESPN. The score of the game. Wow, I missed that. What? I better see. It's like Instagram. Bing. Can you believe what she wore yesterday? It's terrible. And all these distractions to what is personal. Suddenly we have all the CNN and ESPN, and we have all... Instagram is all in our morning revival. We allowed them to come in. This is terrible. We've got to guard our time with the Lord.
Amen.
Personally, what I did, this, I don't know if I should say this, no electronic book for me. I have the old school, the paper copy. It doesn't bing, it doesn't send me messages. It doesn't interrupt. There's no invitations to join with my morning time with the Lord. My brother shared with us that he was visiting Atlanta, and he was sharing about a time he had with his family, and where he was having dinner with his kids and grandkids. And his 3-year-old granddaughter, they're sitting at the table, said, Grandpa, let's talk. And he's sitting next to her, says, okay, honey, what do you want to talk about? Goes, no, Grandpa, let's go sit on the couch and talk. Let's sit on the couch and talk. So this brother, he's a very busy brother. And, he's one of the co-working brothers. He's very busy. And he goes, okay, let's sit on the couch and talk. So he sits down and he has his phone with him. And he's getting, very urgent texts coming in about the Lord's work. He needs to respond to these things. And he's, okay, honey, let's talk. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about? And this is what she said. Brother, could you come up here? I don't know. Yeah, you. Come on up. You can come up the stairs. What's your name, brother? Ryerson? Nice to meet you, brother. Where are you from?
Church in Storrs, Connecticut.
Amen. Good to see you. We appreciate you, brother, sitting right up front and drawing out the spirit of the speaking brothers. Amen. Okay, but here, you're gonna be I'm gonna be the child.
Okay.
And you're the grandpa. Okay? He's the grandpa. So you got your phone? Okay, there he's got his phone. That's what he's doing. And she looks over at him. She goes, "Oh, no. Grandpa, let's talk. Stay here for a minute. Brothers and sisters, don't you feel like sometimes we're with the Lord and we just invited in CNN and ESPN and Instagram and all these other parties to our personal, private time with the Lord, and the Lord comes, let's talk. Come on, let's talk. About what? Anything. I just want to dispense into you. I hope the next time you get interrupted in your personal, private time, you'll see Wrighton's face. Getting squeezed, saying, let's talk. Amen, brother. Thank you. Amen. Okay. All right, let's go on to Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2. If we would... Now we shift to what? From breathing to?
Drinking.
This outline's laid out very... I didn't point it out. There's three Roman numerals. Roman numeral 1 is on breathing. Roman numeral 2 is on drinking. Roman numeral 3 is on?
Eating.
Amen. Okay, we're on Roman numeral 2. If we would experience the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, we all need to drink the same spiritual drink, Christ as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. Amen. Well, and the verses here, 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, 3 is about eating, all ate the same spiritual food, and 4, though, is on drinking. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock. They drank of a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. I hope you're familiar with that verse. The rock was Christ. And let me just read again. It's hard to get away from the footnotes. Let me read you a portion of a footnote. This is footnote 2. And try to follow along with my reading here. The rock that was smitten and cleft to flow out the living water for God's chosen people was a physical rock. It was an actual rock. There was a rock. Yet the apostle called it a spiritual rock, because it typified Christ. The apostle said the rock was Christ. He didn't say the rock was like Christ, or the rock typifies Christ. The rock was Christ. And that's significant. Why? Since it was a spiritual rock signifying Christ, it was able to follow the children of Israel. This indicates that Christ as the real rock is following His believers. Brothers and sisters, a rock is following us. How is it that we can go to work, oh Lord Jesus, and drink? There's a rock behind us. We get off work, we go to the bank, oh Lord Jesus, the rock's still there. We go to the store. We get home. We can drink everywhere because the rock follows us.
Amen.
What a salvation. The rock follows us. And that rock is Christ. Amen. All right, would you read A? The water typifies the Spirit as our all-inclusive drink. Again, brothers, I have to read you a part of a footnote. You've got to listen. This is marvelous. This is note 5. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. A lot of footnotes on there, and long footnotes. Wow, they're good. They are so rich. But here's just a couple sentences. To drink the Spirit is to take the Spirit in. We have a song to that, too. I love that song. You know that, Dennis, right? Yeah. To drink the Spirit is to take the Spirit in and to have our being saturated with Him. To drink the Spirit is the continuation and the accomplishment of the mingling. That's the divine Trinity. The triune God being dispensed into us. To drink the Spirit is a continuation and accomplishment of the mingling and is perpetual forever. This requires us to call. This requires us to call on the Lord continually and draw water with joy from Him as the fountain of living water. Oh, brothers, this requires us to call. May the Lord recover our calling. May the Lord really recover our calling. And you know, in the context of this verse, in the context of this verse, it begins with we were baptized into one body. The context is the body. Paul was so body conscious and body centered that actually drinking here is in the context of the body. It really is. Do you ever consider that your calling on the Lord is not just for you to get a little refreshment because you're dry right now? You're calling in the body. And you're calling for the body. And your calling is for the building up of the body of Christ. This gives even more significance to our calling. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, B. The spiritual drink, the living water, is the water of life in resurrection. This point points to this. We are what we drink. We are what we drink. When we drink the water of life in resurrection, what happens to us? We become persons in resurrection and of resurrection. The more drinking of resurrection, the more we become resurrection. This is the high peak right here. We are what we drink. We drink resurrection, we become resurrection. Amen. Okay, C. Please read C. Amen. Well, you know, excuse me. You know, according to the Bible, and actually even according to the physical realm, drinking is more important than eating. I mean, in fact, back it up. We breathe all the time. As Ricky pointed out, it's automatic. It's a law. Even we're asleep. We don't set an alarm clock. I got to remember to breathe tonight. I need to set an alarm to breathe in an hour. No, we just breathe. We're just always breathing. Well, drinking, if we're healthy, we drink throughout the day, right? 8 cups of water, you don't drink them all at one time. That would be very uncomfortable. Get up in the morning and drink 2 gallons of water because I need to drink. No, you just drink throughout the day. And even our eating, you know what, we don't eat as much as we drink. And it's proven that we can live a lot longer without food than without water, right? And drinking is critically important. And in the spiritual, in the Bible, the biblical record, the last call in Revelation is not for eating. The last call is for drinking. The last call in Revelation 22 is, who's ever thirsty? In case we missed anyone, is anybody thirsty? Come unto me and drink. That's the last call. Brothers and sisters, our drinking is so critical to our going on with the Lord. Of course, we also learn if we read Revelation 22, there's something in that water. Right? You know what I'm talking about? At the beginning of the chapter, in 1 and 2, we find out, in verses 1 and 2, we find out there's a tree in the water. There's a tree in the water. So actually, when we drink, we also eat. It's hard to distinguish the two. When we drink, we eat. But brothers and sisters, we need to have the view. I need to drink all day because I need to live all day. I need to live this divine life. I need to experience the Lord. So I need a lot of drinking. A lot of drinking. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Since we're talking about drinking the Spirit and drinking being calling, as a way to drink being calling, rather than me just tell you, let me ask you this. Do you know a verse that directly connects calling and drinking? Fellowship with the person next to you for 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Struggle with it. Okay. Brothers, come to the front row. You look like you're ready. What is it? Isaiah 12, 3 and 4. Hallelujah. If you didn't have that, write it down. Isaiah 12, 3 and 4. Directly connects. Let me read it to you. I think you know the verse. We have songs for this one too. Therefore you will draw water. Draw water. With rejoicing. From the springs of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to Jehovah. Call upon His name. Call upon His name. You draw water by calling. Are you getting motivated to call?
Amen.
We don't need to be criticized to call. We just see what's in that drink. We'll call. We'll call. We'll breathe the Lord in. Draw water by calling. Okay. So let's go on to Roman numeral 3. Please read Roman numeral 3. God's economy. Amen. So what is this Roman numeral on then? Eating. Roman numeral 3 is on eating. And we'll see, it's not just eating, but it's becoming constituted with eating, with Him. And we'll talk about this a little. Well, let's insert it right now, because this brother shared this. Brother Ron shared this with us in some fellowship in the last few days. It was very enlightening to me. This matter of dispensing. Remember, what is the burden? It's the dispensing. The divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. And our experience of this. Well, our brother pointed out, he said, you know, the dispensing, I don't know if what word he used in two aspects or two phases, but there's the aspect of something objective becoming subjective to us. Like food, right? Food is outside of us. We take the food in. That's a dispensing. That's marvelous. But we don't stop there with the dispensing. There's also an inward subjective dispensing, that what we took into us doesn't just sit in our stomach. It needs to be constituted into our whole being. It needs to be constituted into us. That our whole being would be what was outside of us. Didn't just come in as a and sit there. No, it becomes constituted into us. So this point, Roman numeral 3, hints at that. That we need to eat Christ as the bread of God and become constituted with Him. This is the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. Actually becoming us. Wow. Well, let's keep going. There's a number of rich points here. Again, eating and drinking in our human life is just so common. We eat and drink every day. We don't talk about it. We just do it. We just eat and drink. But in the Bible, eating and drinking is critically significant. And it's brought up again and again how critical it is for us to eat and drink. And, you know, you look at the history and, well, we know the whole Bible is a book of eating. It begins with a tree and a river, and it ends with a tree and a river. Eating and drinking. Beginning and end. But in the middle, it's full of eating and drinking. You look at the history of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Their history, you can follow their history by what they ate. You can look at their eating and get the whole history of the children of Israel. It's really remarkable. And it emphasizes this point, how critical eating and drinking is in our spiritual pursuit of the Lord and in our Christian journey. So you begin with what? Exodus 12. The children of Israel, they're in slavery in Egypt. It's a bleak situation. What changed? The Passover. And what's the Passover about? It's about a lamb. It's about a lamb. And you do two things with that lamb. You take the blood of that lamb and you put it on the doorpost, right? For redemption. The blood for redemption. Brothers and sisters, isn't it just so regrettable that so many Christians in their experience stop right there? And we are so thankful for the blood. Right? I mean, what we couldn't go on without the blood. The blood for redemption. The blood that washes our sins away. The blood that gives us, releases us from the law. Right? I mean, the blood is too rich. But the children of Israel, this book is called Exodus. That means get out. Don't put the blood on the door and stay there. You now have to eat that lamb. You eat every bit of it. Why are you eating it? For the strength, for the nourishment, to get out. To get out. What a picture. What a picture of the children of Israel that applies to us. We have a lamb, and oh, we love the blood. But we better eat that lamb. We need to eat that lamb. And once you eat the lamb, they had the strength and they got out. And now they begin a long journey. A long journey. They need another kind of eating. Now they need to eat. But it's a different kind of eating. Now in a wonderful way, with the dew, manna came down. And manna, we know, it means, what is it? And they asked, right? They asked Moses, what is this? Moses was clear, though. He responded to him. He didn't say, I don't know. Looks like we should probably try to eat it. He didn't say it. He said, this is the bread sent down from heaven. Manna is the bread. Brothers and sisters, every morning when we come to the Lord with the dew that comes in the morning, there's some manna waiting for you. There's manna for your long journey, your ordinary days. You know, it seems, you read the history of the children of Israel in the wilderness, it just seemed like a lot of ordinary days, one right after the other, for 40 years. We go to work every day. Every day. But brothers, we have manna to eat. We have manna for this journey, for this Christian journey. What a blessing. What a blessing to have this manna. It's bread for our daily eating. Then, of course, they get to the good land. And what happens when they enter the good land? The manna stops. Because now they're eating the rich produce of the good land. They're feasting. Probably got a little tired of manna after 40 years. Now it's a rich feast. You have to read the book, The All-Inclusive Christ, and you'll get a real appreciation for all the produce of the good land. How rich in so many aspects it is. So that's a history. That's a summary of the Old Testament with the children of Israel right there. And it's all about eating. It's all about eating. Then you come to the New Testament. I'll be quick. You come to the New Testament. You know, the Jews, they were really waiting and looking for the Lord to come because they wanted a Messiah. They wanted a king, a prophet. They wanted a great leader. And they kept trying to give him these titles. And he just wouldn't take them. He wouldn't take them. And in fact, in John 6, so clear, recorded, I am the bread of life. The Lord presented Himself as bread to the point the Jews, they just started murmuring. He says He's bread. Our great leader says He's bread. And even in Matthew 15, not just bread, He's children's bread. And then to go a little smaller, He's crumbs under the table. The bread crumbs for the Gentiles, for the dogs. Do you see the dispensing?
Hallelujah.
Do you see the dispensing of the divine Trinity? Wow, brothers and sisters. The Lord, He wanted to be food. And finally, He just flat out told them, He who eats me shall live because of me. The Jews are so disappointed in that. So disappointed. You go on, I won't go through all of them. He's the fattened calf, right? With the prodigal son. He's the fattened calf. What do you do with a calf, fattened calf? You eat it. The prodigal son, you know, he got a nice robe on him. But that didn't solve his problem. He was starving. That didn't solve all his problems. He needed that robe for his covering, for righteousness, but he was hungry. Prepared a fattened calf. That was the Lord as his feast. Okay. The wedding feast, you know, in Matthew 22, it's a feast. It's not a wedding ceremony. It's not a wedding formal occasion. It's a wedding feast. Isn't that marvelous? And then, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, keep that feast in your daily life. Keep eating. Just keep feasting. Don't stop feasting. All right, let's read A. God's Amen. Well, okay. We're going to finish up here pretty quick. I would like to just though insert another, you know, to me it was a discovery in the ministry. You may have already discovered it long ago, but This is in this book we have called How to Enjoy God and How to Practice the Enjoyment of God. What a treasure that book is. And Brother Lee shared in there his experience. Because we know, back to John 6 for a minute, a way to eat the Lord is, my words are spirit and they are life. He didn't ask him, come take a bite out of my arm. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. So, thankfully, we have the Word of God. We have it in our hands. But there are different ways to take the Word. And this is what I really appreciate. Brother Lee points out, you know, as believers, we all have the sense we need to read the Bible. And it's good to read the Bible. We should read the Word of God. And it's just best to do it consecutively, right? You don't have to figure out where you're going to read today, what matches my mood today. You just start Genesis 1, you just read through it. But Brother Lee said this. He said, reading the Word like that consecutively, it's like opening the pantry and looking at all the food. You open the pantry up to, oh, there are the black beans. There's rice, there's some peaches, tuna fish cans, there's some peach, you know, plums. Here's everything. Okay. And you shut the cupboard. Did you just eat a meal? Is looking in the pantry the same as eating a meal? No. Now, this is what I enjoy. You know, I think if I said to you, brothers and sisters, we need to pray, read. Everybody says, I've been doing that forever. I know how to pray, read. In the beginning, amen. What is the word? Amen. Right? And that's great. That's a wonder. We pray, read like that, particularly corporately. Like in the prayer meeting or when we're together. That's a wonderful way to pray over the word. But, Brother Lee, I really appreciated this. He said, not only do we need to pray, read, we need to read, pray. That stopped me. Read, pray. Okay, this shakes up my concept a little bit. Read, pray. What does that mean? He put it this way. He said, I told some brothers, if I'm going to read, pray Psalm 133, which has three verses in it. I think we know that Psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is. Our brother said, I need 1 month. I need a month to read, pray three verses in Psalm 133. And he said, then I did it and I was wrong. It took me 2 months. Wow. He said, the brothers thought I was exaggerating. I wasn't exaggerating. Because I learned how to read, pray. Brothers, maybe we need to reconsider how we approach the Word, how we pray, read. And Brother Lee was quick to point out, he said, pray, read, pray. It's put one foot in front of the other. He said, trying to pray without reading is trying to walk on one foot. Trying to read without praying is trying to walk with one foot. He said, doesn't matter which foot you put forward, just walk. Just walk, just walk. You don't need to think, well, which, I don't know which is appropriate. I got very touched by read, praying. Behold. He said, the very most I can take when I read, pray, 5 or 6 words, at the most, usually less. Behold. How good and how pleasant. That's how it starts, Psalm 133. Oh Lord, behold. Oh Lord, behold. Lord, that's what I'm doing here. I just want to behold you. Behold. Oh, Lord. Brothers, this begins the digestion. This begins the constitution. What we took into us, we're now slowly digesting, and it's becoming our constitution. Like Ricky mentioned last night, you know, we can be so quick in the morning. But to have a little time to call on the Lord. And then, you know, I love our morning revival. I'm not Please don't get me wrong. I love that tool, that supply that we have called the Holy Word for Morning Revival. But sometimes it may have four or five verses. If you read, pray the Word, you may only get a little phrase of one verse. Is your digestion for that day. And in fact, the heading of this section in that book is called, I think I wrote it down. What is it? Emphasizing digestion rather than content. Right. Emphasizing digestion rather than content. Brothers, in the morning, don't we want to digest the Word? And just slowly, behold, how good. Behold, how good. Lord, you are too good. The brothers are too good. The church is too good. The Bible's too good. And you just converse with the Lord. You pray slowly, digesting. Anyway, I just like that. I like the phrase because it knocks me out of my religious concept. Read, pray. Read, pray. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, we need to finish. I think we are on... Are we on B? Where are we? Okay, go ahead. Would you read B, please? God's intention. Let's go on to C. The living bread. The true bread. The bread of God. Brothers, don't worry which bread you're eating. In the bread of God, it's all there. It's all in the bread of God. Eat the bread of God, you'll get heavenly bread. You'll get bread of life. You'll get the living bread. You'll get the true bread. It's all in the bread of God. D, the Lord Jesus wants us to eat, digest, and assimilate. Eat, digest, and assimilate. Brothers, this again is the dispensing. Don't miss the burden again. Don't miss the burden. Eat, digest, and assimilate Him as the bread of God, the bread of life, and the living bread. One, the bread of life is the life supply in the form of food. The bread of life refers to the nature of the bread, which is life. The living bread refers to the condition of the bread. Wow, the nature of the bread is life. The condition of the bread is living. Wow. How can we be revived in the morning? Be living in the morning? Eat something living. That's not CNN. That's not Instagram. Eat the living bread of God. God's economy, this is E, God's economy is a matter of Christ coming into us inwardly. For this we need to take Christ by eating Him. The record regarding spiritual eating in the Bible reveals that God intends to dispense Himself into us by the way of eating. Brothers, again, this is by. How is He dispensing Himself into us? By the way of eating. Amen. To eat is to contact things outside of us to receive them into us, with the result that they become our constitution. Three, to eat the Lord Jesus is to receive Him into us, that we may be assimilated by the regenerated new man in the way of life. Okay, how about if you are inclined, stand up and let's read 4-7 together. If it's easier to just stay seated, that's fine. But if you'd like to, let's go. 4. Eating. Actually becomes us. Thank you. What? We become. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, you can have a seat. This is the high peak of the divine revelation right here. We've tied in our breathing, our drinking, and our eating to God's dispensing. And it means so much when you look at it in the context of dispensing. The triune God being dispensed into man. We become what we eat and what we drink and what we breathe. Hallelujah. And the last point I'll read to you, according to the Lord's Word in Revelation 2 and 3, the overcomers have been recovered to the proper eating of the Lord as their food supply. They eat Him not only as the tree of life and the hidden manna, but also as a feast full of His riches. We are most blessed, brothers. We are most blessed. We have received a unique and eternal blessing. The triune God being dispensed into us. Okay, why don't you take just 30 seconds to pray with somebody next to you, and then Brother Bob will help us out.